So I don't know how we landed up with Dutch oven cooking class indoors, because Dutch oven cooking is supposed to be an outdoor thing. So, but I didn't, wasn't sure I could get everybody found and moved to an outdoor place, because there wasn't one real close here that was suitable without catching the woods on fire. So, or the parking lot busting the cement up with too hot of a fire or something. So we're just kind of gonna do it cold turkey. With the kind of demonstration showing you what's going on. Hopefully you can pick up on it and go from there. So it's about time to get started here. So my name is Howard Fisher. I was raised on a farm in Oklahoma and lived there all my life till just recently moved to Collegedale, Tennessee. This is my helper, Dustin Cook from Michigan. He's my nephew. And we are, I'm saying too much. Anyway, my topic is Dutch oven cooking. And we just cooked four pots of food outside, and he just brought them in, and they're here on the hearth. They're hot. And let's say that growing up on the farm, when I was born, we didn't have electricity on the farm or gas, so we were cooking on wood. My wife was raised in a ranch in New Mexico. Her name is Edwina Fisher, and she's here, but she wanted to go to another class instead of coming to this one, because she's done this too many times. So anyway, she was raised on a ranch in New Mexico, and they cooked on a wood stove also. So we had something in common before we even got married. And Dutch ovens have been in use for a very long time. The pilgrims brought Dutch ovens with them to America when they came. When the pioneers started across the United States to the West Coast, to the Gold Rush and stuff, you better believe it, every woman took her Dutch oven with her, because that's what they had to cook in. They would usually have a skillet for frying stuff in too, but Dutch ovens were a very important part of American life. And very soon after before we even became a country, we started forming. You can sit up over here, Dustin. Before we even were the United States, the pioneers, very early in the history of the United States, the Americans started making their own Dutch ovens. Most Dutch ovens in the early days were used in fireplaces. People had a fireplace on each end of their house for heat, and they would have hangers in the fireplace to hang their pots on and cook in a fireplace. In the summertime, when they didn't want to heat up the house, they had an outdoor kitchen where they did the cooking over wood, usually outdoors. When coal was discovered, people started cooking on coal, but mostly it was on wood. Can you bring in some briskets out of your car?
Yeah.
And so Dutch ovens, there's two different types of Dutch ovens. The basics of this class is going to be just kind of an introduction to Dutch ovens for those of you who are never used Dutch ovens. We had something like this when I was a kid. This is a Dutch oven for cooking in a oven. We called it the bean pot because that's all I remember ever cooking in it was beans. But we have red ones and black ones and green ones. They come in all different colors. These are enameled. They're heavy steel, but cast iron, but they are enamel to make them clean, easier to clean and prettier. And so this is something that people can use on top of their stove or in their oven at home still today. And so you can buy these almost anywhere. And the other kind of camp ovens are made for camping. They're outdoor ovens. These type of ovens have three little short legs on them so that you can hold them up off of the ground. They come in all different sizes. From this little cute one here is an 8-inch, and this is 10, 12, 14, and 16. And like I said, the camping Dutch ovens usually have legs on them. There are some that don't have legs like this one. This is a camping Dutch oven. The camping Dutch ovens, instead of having a dome-shaped lid like this, they have a concave lid with a rim around the edge so that you can put coals on top, and that way you're heating from the top down and from the bottom up, and it makes it work more like a oven. If you just have fire underneath, it's real easy to burn the food. We're mostly going to be talking about camping Dutch ovens in this, outdoor Dutch ovens in this class, and not talk too much about these. These just work like any kind of a pot that you put in your oven at home. So there's lots of different features on different brands of Dutch ovens, and people use different advertising. This one here is a Lewis and Clark special. This one's made by Winsel in 1887, it says. The ones like this that don't have legs on them, some manufacturers are trying to give Dutch ovens a dual purpose, because people, instead of having a frying pan and a Dutch oven, they like this one, see, it opens up into two frying pans, so you can cook that way. Or this one becomes a lid. It's flat enough, you can put coals on top, and it doubles as a baking pan also. So you can use it for either one. These ones that don't have legs on them, you can put them up on a stand like this too, so that you can put coals under them. What'd you do with the bag of charcoal?
I didn't bring a whole bag.
Oh, yeah, I'll bring a bag for half, just a little bit. Yeah. Okay, this one here is a Cabello. Cabello, you can get these at the Cabello stores. Here's an interesting feature some people put on Dutch ovens. It has a little notch right here in the rim and a notch in here. So if you rotate it to where this little arrows match up, the steam blows out, and if you turn it a little bit, it holds it in. And some Dutch ovens have even gone so far as to put little bumps all inside here to cause the steam to drip evenly back into your soup, so you don't have to stir it so often. And this one even went farther and made bigger bumps. They have little, real sharp little points where it drips off of the bumps. Talk a little bit about charcoal. For beginners, I tell them the easiest thing to do is to start cooking on charcoal. This Kingford brand is the one I use for the standard for different kinds of charcoal. It's a brisket kind of charcoal made out of sawdust. They crimp it together under pressure so that it makes uniform little squares, about 2-inch square. And there's a rule of thumb for cooking on charcoal, because each one of these puts out raises the pot about approximately 10 degrees. And so our rule of thumb is take your pot size, double it, and then put 1/3 of those under the pot and 2/3 on top of the pot, because heat goes up a lot easier than it goes down. So so that gives you the most even heat, is to put 1/3 of your fire under and 2/3 on top. So for example, if you have a 10-inch pot like this one right here, we double 10, goes to 20, and 1/3 of 20 is about 6 or 7. And I like to put them in a kind of a circle around the outside like that, and see if you set the pot down, there's still enough room for air to go through. If you're working in on the beach in sandy soil or something, it's going to sink down. That doesn't work very good. You need to be on a hard surface for that to have air circulation. If there's a wind blowing, it'll take all the heat off in the next lot. So if you're working with wind, you have to put up a windbreak of some kind to stop the wind from coming through. And then, so I have 6 underneath to get to 20. That leaves me about 14 to go on top. And you can put them in kind of a checkerboard pattern on top to get the most even heat. We have found that depending on what you're cooking, you can burn stuff like bread. It rise up in the middle and get closer to the lid, and then in that case you want to pull all of your briskets out to the outside edge. And one word on briskets. I said this was the one that I judged the other ones by. One day I was at the store grabbing a bag of charcoal to go on a camping trip, and they had this Char King. Doesn't that sound good? See, they used half of their name trying to steal business, and it said, buy one, get one free. Well, you can't buy that, beat that, can you? Buy one, get one free. And we took these out there, and they're smaller. They wouldn't hardly burn. It was terrible because we couldn't get the food cooked because they a poor quality of what they put into it. And Another time I tried B&B. It says burns better burning charcoal, and competition oak. And these ones had bigger, the chunks were bigger than this, and they did burn hotter. And so messes up your count, because your food is going to burn if you get it hotter than what it needs to be to cook. So anyway, you can use anything like that. If you get more advanced, you can go to lump charcoal. If you like I said, start with the briskets, because you can count out how many you need to do the surface. On these, this stuff comes in big old chunks, and the bigger the chunks, the longer they last and the hotter they burn.
It's more like and, when you're actually using regular fire out there.
Yeah, and did we get here with the funnel thing to start them? No, we left them at the tent. Okay, they have a charcoal lighter cans, and it's just a can like this and about this tall with holes in it, and you can put paper or set it on a wood fire or whatever you have, or you can also light charcoal with lighter fluid. But a lot of times we'll just gather up some, when we're camping, we just gather up some sticks off of the trees around us and make a little pile, light that, and then pour the charcoal on top of it to get it started. Because it takes a little bit of heat to get it started, but once it gets started, we'll little spread through the pile of charcoal and get it going. So anyway, lump charcoal works. For years, yeah, we start with good hard wood, like oak or hickory or mesquite, whatever you have that's hard wood. Burn it down to coals, and then just pick the coals up with a shovel and put a little pile over on the ground, set your pot on top of it, get another shovel full and put on top, and do it that way. The other thing you can do is make charcoal, but you have to make charcoal, you have to have a way to limit the amount of, you have to shut off the oxygen supply, get the wood burning real good in an oven, and then shut the oven up so that it can't get enough oxygen, and it'll stay in there and turn to charcoal. That's like a firebox. Can't do it in a fireplace because it's open, but if you have a stove with a firebox you can do it in a barrel or whatever, just have to get it burning real good and then close it up to stop the oxygen and starve it for oxygen, and it'll turn to charcoal.
How it's doing.
So these are lid lifters. There's a couple of different kinds.
Lots this of different one, styles.
Styles. Works like this. You just take a peek. If you leave your lid off for very long, you lose all of your oven heat. But you can take a peek in there and see if it's cooking too fast or too slow. We do that about every 10 to 15 minutes when we're cooking. And then we'll rotate the lid a quarter of a turn to the left, and the pot a quarter turn to the right. And if you do it with the lid lifter or leather gloves on, it keeps you from burning your fingers. This is one kind of lid lifter. It's made by a different company, like this one, to where it goes down and
touches the side. And we use these for lid stands. Keep one handy by your fire. That way you can, when you take the lid off, you can just set it on your lid stand.
And if you can put it back on with all these and everything that we're falling back into the pot.
And like you said, these, there's a couple other things. This is, like if you don't have a good surface to cook on, some people have this to put the charcoal in it, and then set the pot on it.
Or if you want even more control,
you go in there with it, so you can raise it up and down. Oh, I laid the mic down. Can everybody hear okay? And welding gloves came in handy for this. If you just wear a pair of leather gloves of any kind, welding are the heaviest, is what we found. Then you don't get burned. You can actually just grab the lids like this. If you have on gloves, you can grab the handles. And without getting burned, if you're wearing leather gloves. One other thing, these pots, you can buy carrying cases like this that zip up for your pots to keep your car from getting black from the bottom of the pot and the dirt on them. Keep your car clean. They have little bags they make to put these tools can fold up and go in a bag to keep yourself organized. Go ahead.
Unless you get really busy like us, and then we get organized and leave some of that stuff in the cabin.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of things that we could... lots of soups, casseroles. You can cook anything in a Dutch oven, and then literally anything that you, any recipe that you have, any place. That's my goal here today, is to convince you that you can cook anything in a Dutch oven. You can fry, boil, roast in a Dutch oven. It's
any favorite food.
That's for sure. You're gonna, until you get practiced, I still burn stuff once in a while. You get busy doing trying to do two things at once and don't watch it close enough, it'll burn. That saves a lot of coals, is to,
sometimes
four or five, you can just keep stacking them up. You can even stack the same size up on top of each other. Like here's two 12 inches, and they'll stack up. And then it takes half as many coals to get the job done, because this one's heating both sides, and this one's heating both sides of this one. Is best for your family. This is a one person size. And I should mention too that besides the camping Dutch oven, they've made aluminum Dutch ovens for backpackers that are lighter weight. But I don't know, it seems like here lately the whole backpacking industry's tried to go lighter and lighter and lighter, and they're not even taking the Dutch ovens with them anymore, because they're too heavy for even the aluminum ones are too heavy for what they want to do on.
I carried a 12 for about 3 miles once to go camping, and I don't think I ever did it again after that.
Another way to keep food from burning in Dutch ovens is to use pans, like. This is pie pans and cake pans. So
if you take, we take and put a couple, three jar rings in the bottom, set the pan on it, it gets the Dutch oven up in the middle of the pan of the oven, so that the heat from the bottom can circulate around it and the heat from the top, and it's much easier to keep from burning food that way.
It's also easier to clean your Dutch oven afterwards.
Yeah, and like when we're cooking for a crowd, we'll cook in them just so we can just change out, like making biscuits in pans. We can cook this one for 15 minutes, and the Dutch oven is cast iron. They stay hot for a long time, and you can take the lid off, pop this one out, and cook the next one on the same charcoal. It works the same way. Brought this little stove in here to show that you can cook with Dutch ovens on a stove. Dustin's going to pop some corn there to show you. Like I said, have you thought of cooking popcorn in a Dutch oven? We do it all the time at home. Even we've got a big outdoor grill, and we just put one of these, the biggest Dutch oven we have on there, and we've got a fryer pot that come with the turkey fryer that's got holes in it, and I just put that on it for a lid, and makes a really good popcorn popper on the grill for big batches of popcorn real quick.
Yeah.
But like our grill, it has, a grate, and the legs, you just twist a little bit and the legs will go between the leg and where it'll set down on there just fine. I use the ones with legs on our grill at home all the time in our outdoor kitchen.
Do you have a favorite Dutch oven? Size or shape?
What works the best for me most of the time is 12 inch. I've got the most 12 inches. Let's talk a little bit about different types of Dutch ovens. Let's see if I can see. Like this is a 12 inch, what we call a deep, and this is a 14 inch deep or 13 inch deep. Let's see. Do I have a same brand here? Because different brands make them different sizes. Can you see the difference between? Okay, those are the same. Do we? No, I think one's just up on a different pedestal. I'm trying to. Anyway, let's say that this is a. See how this pot is deep and this one is shallower? Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. If you can, I like for, how to say this, the closer you can get the top of the Dutch oven to your food, the more heat you can get into the food from the top. And so if you're trying to cook biscuits or something in the bottom of a deep oven, it's hard to ever get them browned on top because the fire is too far away from them. In that case, you need to jack your pan up by putting something under it, or else, use a shallower Dutch oven. This 14 here is amazingly shallow. I started looks like a wok, and so it's good for wok cooking. It's the lid is made for where you can grill on a flat grill, make pancakes or cook meat on the bars. So there's a jillion different kinds of Dutch ovens. So think about what you cook and how you cook before you go pick a Dutch oven. And start they're not real cheap, so you may want to start with one or two, and then as you get more confidence, you can build up your collection. I went and borrowed a bunch of Dutch ovens from all my church members back home, so we'd have enough for the kids' class over here to have. We had about 100 kids over there at the same time, so we were swamped with kids trying to learn to cook in Dutch ovens. One like this, you don't have to. I could cook a kind of a flat loaf of bread in something like this, but if you tried to put a pan in there, there's not enough room. But of course, this would make a big pot of stir fry or biscuits or whatever you want to cook in it, because you can actually put a lot of coals on top to brown the tops. So, just before class this morning, we ran. We cooked apple pie in this one,
and we burned other
things. And here's some cinnamon rolls. And let's see. This is a loaf of seeded bread. Let's see if it'll come out of there. So, we've got these. I guess we've got two loaves of seeded bread. Let me get a. Don't burn the popcorn. Same time it takes in a regular oven at home. If you cook it at 350, we were in a hurry, so we put some extra coals on there to speed it up, and that's how you burn stuff.
Do you guys ever do that at home? Like, just a little bit faster, just 5 degrees. Yeah. And then once it starts to burn, you can't cool the Dutch oven down very fast. Sometimes, like there's, I was going to bring it, but I have an infrared temperature that you could use for measuring all sorts of things, but you
could put an oven thermometer. Yeah. In here and monitor and just to test your Dutch oven to see if you've preheated it to 350 or 375, whatever your cooking temperature wants to be. We'll get to that here pretty soon. Yeah, you can make anything in them. So, we make, and you can make cookies, cakes, pies, anything that you cook at home in your oven, you can make in a Dutch oven. I turned it over in that. Yeah, we had it in, on a rack.
It was, in one of these, on a couple of those rings.
On top of... on a couple of jar rings. So on the cleaning Dutch ovens, to start with, iron can get rusty because it's just bare iron. So to basically what we have to do is season them. To season iron, we take a little bit of a highly refined oil or shortening and just put a little bit all in the inside once it's clean. If you clean, if you've got your Dutch oven so dirty that you have to scrape them out with a knife or a pot scratcher, you're going to probably have to re-season it. We basically, every time we use them, we go and put a little bit of cooking oil or shortening or something on the inside. And to store them, then we take a paper towel. I like to leave a paper towel in the middle just to kind of absorb any moisture like that. But it's a good idea to take a cloth or a paper towel, kind of fold it like this, and put one on each side. I guess I'm working where you can't even see me. Get out here in front. Like this, and then put the lid on. What did I do with the lid now? Let's just do it like this. Anyway, if you have a paper towel or a rag on each side, we're a lid, then you can see it kind of holds a little air gap. If you're hauling them, it doesn't rattle. And that's the best way to store them. Back to cleaning them. If they get rusty in or any, even if you use a, you're going to have to go to the spoon carving guys over there and learn how to carve spoons, because we using wooden spoons, because metal spoons actually damage the seasoning on the inside of the pots. If you scrape it with any kind of metal utensil, it damages, it scrapes your seasoning oil off of it. That seasoning oil, you smear it on there, heat it up either on your fire or in a home oven or on a burner or something, get it almost hot enough to smoke, and leave it for 20 minutes or so to get it really, when you heat up iron, the pores open up and let the oil go into the iron. And that's the way you season the iron, so that it doesn't rust. And if you scrape that off, then you have to put it on again. And so a lot of times, every time you're going to put them into storage, well, peanut oil is one of the best oils to use because it's a high heat oil. You can use canola oil, but something like olive oil, I don't recommend it because it goes rancid too easy, and it also burns at a low temperature. Coconut oil is okay, but it turns rancid quicker than Crisco by a long ways. Question? Most of the companies nowadays are pre-seasoning them before they sell them, so because they before they sell them, they're pre-seasoned.
If you buy one used, because these are around you.
Yeah, I've got some antique Dutch ovens that we bought at estate sales, and they don't even have, they're so old, they don't even have a brand name or date, nothing on them. They're just Dutch ovens, and And that's, and they're rusty. We got them really at a bargain prices though, and just took them home and cleaned them up and oil them, and they were just, you know, red with rust, but when we got through with them, they just look like these. They're just nice and clean antiques, because the stuff lasts forever, essentially, as long as you take care of it. If you set it out in the yard for ornaments, it won't last very long. Yeah, it'll just eat it up. But as long as you keep it, take care of it with, you put oil on it, shortening, Crisco works good. Yeah, if it's big flaky rust, we've had to scrape them, wire brush them, sand them. Yeah, with water. You can use vinegar, but don't use soap on Dutch ovens, because you get soap in the pores, then it can, unless you're cooking in a pan, it can come back out into your food. Okay, how'd the popcorn do?
Not really, because I was
talking too much. Okay. Is there any other questions? I guess we covered everything really good. Yes. You can.
Regular legs, it's got its own version of legs that company decided to use.
No, it's made on there. We can turn it over there and look at it again. But you can put coals in it, but most of the time we don't, because it's pretty small in the middle, and if you put coals around this part, you'll get plenty of heat. Like I said, when you remember what I was showing you over here, I guess you can't see very good because you're, this is table's higher than you, but we usually just put a ring of coals around the outside anyway. We don't put them in the middle, because the whole iron pot heats up and it spreads to the middle. And so we'll put coals around the outside. If you're trying to get a lower temperature, the rule of thumb I gave you is doubling the size of the pot, the diameter of the pot, like, and then putting a third underneath. That's for about a 350 temperature. If you want to rise bread in a 12-inch, I just put two underneath and six on top until the bread rises, and then I put, that gives me about 80 degrees to get the bread to rise, and then I put more on top and more underneath to cook it. So you can get about any temperature you want. If my wife bakes sourdough bread, she wants it at 450 degrees. So we completely cover the whole top with charcoal to get it up that high. Question? Well, think about it this way. We're living in the end times, and pretty soon, a few years from now, it's going to come to the point where we can't buy or sell. And unless we learn to do something like this, use it, this technology, you'll be up a creek not being able to cook. Antique stores can jack up the price on you. But garage sales is a better idea sometimes. That's what I go. We have mostly lodge, because I live in Tennessee, and the lodge factory is at Pittsburgh, Tennessee, just a few miles down the road there. So we can get those pretty easy.
And they sell lodge just about everywhere. area.
Yeah, but you can get it. Yeah, it's even at Walmart, hardware stores. It's real most common brand in this area. Question? Uh-huh. No, we never, oh, you can, to cook pancakes, you can, that's another whole concept. We were showing you, you know, like pans like this that you can put on the ground to cook in your Dutch oven. If you've got, two, like, how to say this, if you want to cook, you shouldn't cook on charcoal in the house because it gives off carbon monoxide and that's poisonous and it's going to make you sick. But if you're in a, like out on the porch, well-ventilated area, you can put your charcoal in, you can have one pot like this to put your charcoal in the bottom, and then you can set the next pot on top of that and then put some more on charcoal on top of it. And with that method of cooking, you can go, it gives you the option of cooking on a wood floor or up on the porch or out of the rain someplace.
We don't do that very often.
This one here, this to use this grill. You can, but we don't. And that's the way I use this. So just take this off and set it on the coals. If it smothers them, put a rack under it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, done that many times. Yeah, YouTube's good. Let's see, there's, I have a couple of Dutch oven cooking books, but I didn't bring them in here. I don't know that they're in the car. They might be, but I don't know.
I've collected lots of
them. Yeah, the Dutch oven cooking books are useless for us as vegans because they all have, all the recipes have milk and eggs and meat and they're not much good. We made these recipes for the kids class. We still have some. If you guys want to take them, you're welcome to come get them after class. Yeah, this chart down at the bottom of the page tells you it's got the sizes of the Dutch oven one way, and I can't even see it because I.
So the size and then how the temperature.
The temperature you want goes across the top, and you just follow down, and it tells you how many charcoals to put on the top and the bottom. That's if you're using Kingsford charcoal briskets. We do our canning in a pressure cooker. On charcoal? I've canned on wood fire. We just take hard wood, burn it down to coals, and you just hang your pot over coals and cook on it. Question? Do you have a question here? Okay.
You
have a campfire. Yeah. Then you. Yeah, you just take a shovel. Once it gets down to burns down to coal, just take a shovel and put some coals over here. And then set your pot on that. And then take another shovel full and put it on top. The reason I don't recommend that for beginners learning how is because it's hard to tell what temperature you're given. And with this charcoal method, 10 degrees for each one, you can you can, beginners can get it right the first time instead of making a mess.
And it's really easy to make super bright.
And we've taken a shovel and drilled holes in it or punched some with a cutting torch because the ashes, if you get a bunch of ashes on top of your pot, it insulates the pot where the heat doesn't go through. It's too much insulation. So with holes in your shovel, you take and get some coals and shake it a little bit, and the ashes will go through the holes, and then you can just get the hot coals right against the iron, and it works a lot better that way.
We also use these a lot.
Coals. And that's what we pick up the briskets with. You get them to where they turn white and still nice big square, but it turns white when it gets hot. And if it's at night, you can see the glow coming from the inside of that. And then we just take them like this and set them up there one at a time, count out how many you need, and go from there. We were hoping to have this class outside where we could should demonstrate that live, but it didn't work out that way. Question? You just put it in your oven, turn it to highs it'll go to 500 and burn it out. And if you don't have an oven, you can do it on a campfire. About an hour. And then take it out and
you'll have to clean all the ash and all the stuff.
Yeah, then clean it real good with water and then grease it and put it back in at about 350, 400 for 20, 30 minutes to get that new oil soaked into the iron. You can use they also make these briquettes that are already soaked in lighter fluid when you buy them, and you just light them with a match and it goes. But they cost more. So like I said, what I usually do is gather up some sticks at the campsite just off of the trees or off of the ground. There's sticks everywhere. Make a little fire and then pour the briquettes on top of it once it gets going good. And the brick, these things, they will light each other. Once you get some of them lit, well, you can pour some more on top of those and it'll just keep them going. Okay, it's time for us to close out. If any, I brought some paper plates and napkins. If anybody wants to sample Dutch oven cooked bread or pie or cinnamon rolls.
Those are a little bit dark.
That one we burned. I don't know, did we bring a knife? We didn't have a knife in here to cut it.
There might be one in the kitchen. I'll see if there's a knife.
What? Uh-huh. Yes, you take all the briquettes need to get hot before you put them on the pot. And then you get the pot hot.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.